singing. You may be seated this morning.
You want to hear the story of how I made it through when life is full of trouble, pain, and fear. The answer may sound simple, though everything else crumbles, but one thing has remained through all the years. I still serve an amazing God. He's been with me every mile my weary feet have trod. He still cares. He still hears. He's still mending broken hearts and drying tears. This old world is bound to change, but I'm glad I know the one who always stays the same, and my song will ever be. Amazing God, you're still amazing me. The God who parted waters still makes a way today. He's always brought me through the troubled seas. The one who fed the thousand, whose word can calm the tempest. He's my bread of life, and he's my peace. I still serve an amazing God. He's been with me every mile my weary feet have trod. He still cares. He still hears. He's still mending broken hearts and drying tears. This old world is bound to change, but I'm glad I know the one who always stays the same, and my song will ever be. Amazing God, you're still amazing me. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Amazing God, you're still amazing me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. In a never-changing world, we have a never-changing God. Amen. The world is going to get worse and worse, even in 2026. But as we get closer to God, it seems he just gets better and better, and he never changes. Amen. 1 Corinthians in chapter 4 in your Bibles with me. 1 Corinthians and chapter 4. And when you find your place there, if you'd please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 out loud, and then after I finish reading both those verses, if you'll join with me, we'll read them again out loud together. So I'll read them through the first time. You join with me on the second time through, and we'll read this twice. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Let a man so account of us, as of the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Would you read those verses with me, please? In verse number 1, all together, and begin. "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your love, Lord, for leading us into 2026. Lord, thank you for another year that we get to come be faithful to the house of God. Lord, help us to go out this year with the gospel and reach people for you. I ask now that as we enter into this service and specifically the preaching time, that you would move in our midst, that you'd speak to our hearts. Be with Pastor Becker. Give him wisdom as he preaches. Give him power. We'll give you the glory for what you do in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. As you're seated, if you haven't already, please turn your cell phone off or to silent or vibrate, or else you will, like the Venezuelan president, be captured in the middle of the night and be taken captive. I had to get those in both services somehow. I woke up the other morning and went, what in the world just happened last night? And the Venezuelans are cheering everywhere and the liberals are protesting everywhere. That might give you an idea of that as well. So let's just start with that today and we'll get to the message now. I want to talk to you this morning and for the next few weeks about being a good steward. Being a good steward. As we begin this year, as I mentioned already, many people start a new year with all these goals in mind, all the things you want to do that you didn't do last year, that you said you were going to do and you didn't, but now this year is going to be different somehow and some way. All the diets you planned and the exercises and the saving programs and the work you want to do, and now today is the day and this year is the year. I want to challenge you spiritually. I hope you have spiritual goals and plans for this year. Maybe or maybe not isn't a New Year's resolution, but I don't know about you. I want to come into this year, and I want God to bless this year in my life. Don't you? Amen? You want God to bless your home this year? Amen? Or we're kind of, okay, you can say amen in the service, all right? Do you want God to bless your home this year? Amen. You want God to bless your church this year? Amen. You want God to bless our country this year and this world, right? Then we have to be a good steward of what God has given to us. You know, the blessings of God don't come and happen by accident. All of a sudden, poof, you are like the most in-shape person in the world, and it happened overnight, right? It doesn't work that way. All of a sudden, you went from bad habits one day to good habits the next day, and it just happened. You just woke up on the other side of the bed or the other side of the pillow, and you went, what happened? And you're a new person, and you're changed. You know, we must be good stewards of what God has given to us. And when you're a good steward of what God has given to you, then God can bless your life. Amen? I want to be blessed by God. In order to do that, I must follow and obey the Word of God that God has given to me. And you can have all the self-help and all the podcasts and all the diet programs in the world, but without God, those are useless. They're pointless. Without the Lord, you don't put God in your life every single day, and you missed it completely. To be a good steward of what God has given to you, the Bible says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It says to be stewards of the mystery of God. A steward is one that's been entrusted by the owner to manage his affairs in his place. As someone that owns a building, a property, and they put you in place to manage their property that you don't own, you didn't pay for, you're managing it for them. Let me give you this illustration. I've told you before, but I went to college, to Bible college, and I was told, get a security job. You don't have to work and you still get paid. That's pretty much security in a nutshell. No, I did have to work, but not a whole lot. But it was right after the 9/11 attack. And I mean, it happened, and I went to college just a week later, and the 9/11 attack happened on the Twin Towers, 25th anniversary this year of the 9/11 attack. Also, America's 250th anniversary this year as well. Looking forward to celebrating the anniversary and remembering the attacks later. But got a security job, and the name changed a couple of times while I was there. But my job was to guard intel. Now, if you don't know what intel is, it's they process computer chips. To be honest, I don't really know. I didn't do that part, thank the Lord. But I guarded I was at a guard shack is where I started. I mean, it was a high-end job. I mean, the guard shack was about as big as this square right here, and I'm not even joking. And you check people in, and it was exciting stuff. But I had a name badge. I had a name badge that said Intel on it. I could get into any building. Any building. I think they had 12 buildings in the Bay Area. I can get into any building I wanted to. I could get into most rooms. Some they didn't let me in. I'm not sure why. But they didn't let me in some rooms that they didn't want us security guards in there. My job was to guard the property. You know what? I could go in there and say, I own the property. My name's on the badge. I check you in at the door, or I say you can't get in. I own this place. And they would say, you're funny. Get out of here. And they kick me out. No, see, I was a steward. I was hired. I wasn't even an Intel employee. I was a contractor, contracted to help to keep the place safe, to observe and report, and to do nothing else. And a good steward, if you've ever done security, you understand that it's a little bit useless. You know, you got a radio, and that's as far as you go, right? Write names down on a clipboard. But I was a steward of that property. I was a steward of that job, that post, that little shack they put me in to check people in. I was a steward. Kids, you ever been left at home and you're not an accident but on purpose? And your parents said, okay, you're in charge. You remember that first time that your parents left you in charge? Maybe of just yourself or your siblings? And you're like, it's payback time to my siblings. I'm getting you now. You're not really in charge, but you were a steward of the property, the rules, the instructions that your parents have given to you, and you may think, I get to do anything I want to do. And then you realize being in charge is not getting to do anything that you want to do. You get to do what you're told to do. Amen? Or it's not going to be so good when mom and dad come back. All that to say is that we are stewards of what God has given to us. I've said it before, I'll say it again, this is not my life. Right? This is not my family, my church, my car. It is not mine. I am bought with a price. They're God's. I'm a steward of what God has given to me. Christian, if we can start out this year realizing my life is God's. These hands are God's. These feet are God's. These eyes are God's. Everything that I have has been given to me by God, and I'm a steward of them. I'm to care for the goods of what God has left with me, to care for them. Why? Because he's coming back. Amen? Could be this year. Right? Could be this year. Man, he splits the eastern sky and Jesus Christ comes back to claim his own and we meet the Lord in the air and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful thought that is. Until then, I'm a steward. I've been entrusted by the Lord with some good, some instructions while he has gone away. He's not gone. He's kept an eye on us as well. See, stewardship, it involves ownership. Ownership. He owns you. So nobody owns me. There's that whole thinking, and it starts, you know, like by 12-year-olds usually. You know, you can't tell me what to do. You're like, okay, get out of the house then. Okay, I'll listen to you. That didn't take long. Right? Don't try it, kids. It doesn't work well, all right? It's going to be raining tonight. Ownership. What? God owns me. Right? See, I don't like that thought. He owns me. Hey, I'm a child of God. All right? I've got a home in heaven he's preparing for me. He owns me. I'm saved. I encourage you, if you weren't here for Sunday school today, be here in Sunday school. We have our basic training lessons the first 8 weeks of the year. Today was on the subject of salvation. Once saved, always saved, justified in the eyes of God, only through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you miss Sunday school, you need to get in a Sunday school class. For our teenagers, for our senior saints, for our young couples here in the auditorium as well, be in Sunday school. Go back to this, ownership. God owns everything that I have. God owns everything that I see. God owns everything. If you understand in your life that God owns me, it changes my perspective completely on my life, on my plans, on my perspective. God owns you and owns me. I'm a child of God. Amen? Number two, its stewardship involves responsibility. Right? He owns me, but he's given me instructions. Once I'm saved, I'm thankful I'm saved. There's no strings attached to salvation. It's a gift of God. But once you're saved, God said, I have some instructions for you now. Not to stay saved, not to get saved, but God says, I have a plan for your life. Amen? And those instructions are found in the Word of God, that God says, I don't want to ruin your life, I want to help your life. And he says, I have some things that you are responsible for, to telling others about Jesus Christ. Living a holy and a pure and clean life, being in the house of God, other instructions he gives to us. He has duties, instructions for us. Are you listening to God's instructions? Because you're responsible. You're responsible. He's going to check up on you and see how you're doing with what He's entrusted to you. And then stewardship involves accountability. He's looking to see how we're caring for His work. Right? Look at this. This is the house of God. This is a sacred place. I hope we never come to church casually. Casually, right? Hey, this is the house of God. Right? This place is special. I love my home, and that's a special and a sacred place to me, but there's nothing like the house of God. Right? It's just buildings. I get that. But when we meet together, the word of God is preached, songs are sung about the Lord and invitation time. There is something special about being in the house of God. Hey, I'm accountable. I'm accountable for this church. You're accountable for this church as well. God is looking and making sure that we are doing exactly what God wants us to do, not what we want to do. We're accountable. I want to give you a challenge today. That was really all introduction. I don't want to scare you with that thought, but it really was. But I want to give you a few thoughts today about being a good steward of your heart. If you're going to steward anything, we'll get to some more topics later on in the future weeks, but I want to challenge you about being a good steward of your heart. Because how can I steward my life until I've stewarded my heart properly? How can I steward my family and care for my family the way that I should until I've taken care of my heart? How can I care for my job and my church until I've cared for my own heart? The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, your heart, are the issues of life. Every issue is a heart issue. Every issue, you ever seen someone and said, well, they've got issues, right? She's got issues, he's got issues. Guess what? Everyone's got issues, all right? Everyone has issues. You know where that comes from? Our heart. When your heart's not right, it's going to come out here. When your heart's not right, let me help you with this, it's going to come out here. When your heart's not right, it's going to come out in your life. So how about your heart? How's your heart today, Christian, starting the year? We're a few days into the year, but how is your heart today? Is your heart right with the Lord? The Bible says in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is what? Good, right? It wasn't a trick, all right? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is what? Good, right? Good heart, what's coming out? Good. The Bible in turn says this, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is, you guessed it, evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. See, what happens in your heart, it's going to come out. It has to come out. Guess what? You can't hide it. You can fake it for so long, but it's going to come out. The real you, it's coming out from your heart. So I want to challenge you about being a shepherd. Being a good steward, I should say, of your heart. Number one, a heart that is saved. A heart that is saved. Listen real quick. If you catch nothing else today, do you know 100% sure? Not 99%. Do you know 100% sure? If you were to die today, that you go to heaven. This past week, I believe it was right around the Bonneville exit, someone went across the tracks and hit by a train and killed. It unfortunately happens all too often in this area. Entered eternity in a moment. It happens all the time. Your call home, that appointed time, it could be today. Do you know for sure that you'll be in heaven for all eternity? Or do you have a question or a doubt or a wonder that maybe there's a chance you'd spend eternity in a place called hell? Hey, if you're going to steward anything, steward your heart. Hey, you can have all the house, all the goods, all the relationships, all the fun and the partying. But if your heart is not saved, you have nothing. It's all nothing. It's all going to burn up. It's all going to be gone someday. But do you know that you are saved without a shadow of a doubt? Or is there a question in your mind? A heart that is saved, you must know that you're a sinner. We've all done wrong. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, every single one, you and me alike, every single person is a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. There's a punishment for sin. That's death to a place called hell, not for a year, not for 1,000 years, but for all eternity. Separation from God in a burning lake of fire forever. Do you want to chance your eternity on that? So many people sitting in church every single week know that they're lost or have a question and a wonder and think, I'll take care of it someday. What if that someday never comes? What if you enter eternity today and you went, oops? The oops is for all eternity. Is your heart saved today? Do you know for sure that you're saved? I've already heard two reports today of people that have been saved through the Sunday school hour. I was praying that God would save a soul the very first Sunday at Shasta Baptist Church. Maybe there's more today. Don't leave lost. Don't leave lost. Don't leave with a question in your heart and your mind. Trust Christ today, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is your heart saved today? Number two, is your heart clean? Is it clean? Hey, Christian, today you can put on all the nice clothes and come and sit in your seat and look like a good and a godly Christian. And I believe we should dress up for church. Amen? We should look our best. We should be our best in church. But it may not be a clothes of hypocrisy. May it not just be faking it along and I'm looking like a Christian here, but I'm going to live like the world out there. Is your heart clean? You looking at things you shouldn't look at? Listening to things you shouldn't listen to? Going places you shouldn't go to? Hey, you have dirty hands, you have a dirty heart. You putting things in that are wrong, you're going to have a dirty heart from that. Christian, is your heart clean? I was singing the song this morning, how about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. Is it black by sin? Is it pure within? Would you let Christ in today? Do you know that you're saved, number one, but number two, are you clean? Is there something in your life you know does not belong there? Now, there's no perfect person, right? Not a single perfect person in this room. If you say you are, you're the biggest hypocrite in the room. There's no perfect person, but are you clean? Is there anything that you're purposefully allowing in your heart, in your life, habits that you know needs to be out? You know it. God knows it. Maybe your family knows it. And you just need to get it clean and get it out. Maybe you just start a new year. You think, okay, it's time to clean that junk drawer, the closet, whatever it is. We need to clean it out. You say, I'm done with it. And you clean it out. And then 2 weeks later, it's a mess again. You can do it again next year. Don't worry, right? But this year, as you start, when if you're going to clean house, clean your heart. Make sure this is right with God. Your heart is the inner you. It's the center of your being, your mind, your will, emotions, your understanding. Is it clean? Is it right with God? The psalmist said in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. If you're going to get a clean heart, you must get a clean heart from the Lord. Only God can forgive your sin. Only God can help you to get victory over your past and failures. Go before God and say, God, would you cleanse my heart? Ask for forgiveness. Repent of that sin and turn away. Say, God, I want to get past that in my life. A heart that's clean from the sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Do you have a heart, number three, that's right with God? Are you clean, but are you right with God? Is there anything between you and the Savior? Is there anything hindering your relationship with the Lord? Are you right with God? Christians, today again, we're a few days into the year. Have you spent time with God already this year? Have you opened your Bible and really spent time with the Lord? Not going through the motions, not checking a box. We have too many Christians just checking a box and say, God, I want to spend time with you. I want your word to speak to me and I want to spend time speaking with you. I want to be right with you. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Are you right with God? Are you close to the Lord? I don't know anyone that would say, I'm as close to God today as I'll ever be and as close as I could get. Everyone can take a step closer to God, right? Everyone. Spend more time in your Bible reading this year. Spend more time in prayer this year. Spend more time in the house of God this year. Not less, but we need more, don't we? We need more. Is your heart right with God? A heart that's right with God is being a good steward of your heart. And then lastly today, a heart that is surrendered. A heart that's surrendered. You know, God doesn't want to fight with you. Right? He doesn't want to fight with you. But guess what? He knows best. Think about this. Parents and children. Parents, you don't want to fight with your children, do you? Do you want to go and tell your children 10,000 times to do the same thing? Just so you know, that's what parenting is, all right? but your parents don't want to fight with you, kids. You know what they want you to do? To be surrendered and obedient. Isn't that right? For you to say, yes, Mom, no arguing. Wouldn't that be great? Yes, Dad, whatever you want. And even better, even before it's asked, you just go ahead and do it. Like you saw the dishes were dirty and you just went and cleaned them. The trash was full and you just went, you know what, it's my job. Or I see it, I'm just going to help and you go take it out. You know what, that's a heart that is surrendered. So I don't want to fight with Mom and Dad. No rolling eyes, shrugging the shoulders, all that. Say, I just want to be surrendered to Mom and Dad. I want to be right with them. Let me ask you this though, parents. Is a heart surrendered to God? Say, God, I don't want to fight this year. I don't want to argue. I want to be right with you. I want nothing between my soul and the Savior. Are you surrendered to God? It takes humility, doesn't it? God, I want whatever you want. Because know this, God's way is always best. Amen? God's way is always the best. So if you surrender to God, you are surrendering to the best things in your life. If you fight God, you're going away from the best. You're getting away from God's blessings. Is your heart right with the Lord today? A stewarded heart. Are you stewarding? Surrendered, right, clean, saved. Are you right with God? Head bowed and eyes closed, please. Today we'll begin the invitation time. How's your heart today? For most of us, we're the exact same person we were yesterday and last year and the time before that. But I do believe that God changes people. God saves. God can change your life. God can turn someone's life completely around. Where does that start, though? It starts in your heart. It starts in your heart. Number one, do you know that you are saved? No one's looking around. Just it's a still time between you and the Lord. Do you know 100% sure that you're saved and go into heaven? You trusted in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. If you don't know that today, I can't think of a better thing to do today than to trust in Jesus Christ. If you don't know you're saved, would you slip your hand up so we can pray for you? No one's looking around. No one to call you out. Don't want to embarrass you at all. But I'd like to pray for you, and I'd love to ask you to let someone to come and talk to you about your soul. If you don't know you're saved, would you slip your hand up and put it down? I don't know it, but I'd like to know that I'm saved and go into heaven. I hope when I pray and believe, that means that everyone in the room is saved. Let me ask you this secondly, Christian. How is it between you and the Lord with your heart? Is there anything that needs to get right with the Lord? Something needs to get out? Something needs to get surrendered? Lord, please bless and move in a great way in this invitation time. As you stand to your feet, we'll have an invitation time.